WPIRG, Crossroads Paranormal, and ASPRN are excited to announce the first annual North Central Paranormal Meet and Greet and Expo. The event will take place on June 6, 2009 at the Honeywell Center Gym in Wabash, Indiana. The time of the event is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admittance is free. All paranormal enthusiasts are welcome to attend, and groups or individuals may set up a table at the event free of charge. We are currently collecting donations to raffle off at the event. Each person that attends the event will receive one raffle ticket. But if you bring a non-perishable food item, you will receive an additional entry. The food items collected will be donated to a local nonprofit food pantry to help those in need. If you are planning to attend the event, we would love for you to participate in our paranormal photo contest. Bring your photo to the event, next to your photo. The money raised from voting will also be donated to a nonprofit organization. The picture that has the most money in their canister will be the winner of the best paranormal photo. Prize to be announced at a later date. The ASPRN feed will be open for the event, and CPR show hosts Chris and Mike will be broadcasting the event and hope that other radio hosts from ASPRN will also participate in the broadcast. What this means is that if you are a group or individual that is going to attend the event, stop by the live broadcast booth and tell us about yourself or your group live on air. If you have any questions about the event or table space, contact Jason at WPIRG@yahoo.com. If you would like to make a donation, contact Chris at chris@cprshow.com. RIS@cprshow.com. Or if you have any questions about ASPRN and the live feed, you can contact Mike at mike@ASPRN.com.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing on the wall.
Okay,
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
So our EMF meter started to go haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Yes, I still have a voice. We got Doug and Bonnie back.
Yay!
They hit a bad cell tower or something. I don't know what happened. But they're back with us now. And we're having all kinds of fun. We're going to be talking about something new here. Now, this is, I mentioned this before. I've gotten several emails over the last couple of years from people asking us to talk about or discuss the subject of doppelgangers. I'm going to be blunt. Aside from the notes that I've done some private research on my own, but our next guest coming up here was nice enough to give a really nice run-through of what doppelgangers are. But you know, aside from that, I mean, myself, I'm pretty ignorant on the subject, so I'm looking forward to learning about this. The young lady we have here, her name's Tina Foster, and she's been nice enough to come here and join us and talk about the subject of doppelgangers and what they're all about. And there's a lot more to it than just, you know, the double thing, but that's definitely a part of it. So based on that, I'm gonna turn it over to Tina here. Tina, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Thank you.
It's really nice to have you on the show. Like I said, this is something new for us, and I'm really glad you could join us to educate us on this. And maybe I'm hoping we can all walk away with something really interesting from this conversation. Let's just dive right into this thing. I really would, you know, from someone who's into this stuff a lot more than I am, let's start. What the heck is a doppelganger?
Well, a doppelganger, it just means a double, basically, and it's a person who looks like another person and pretends to be another person and takes that person's place.
Okay. And you said, now I knew about, and I'm sorry, I'm already stomping all over you, I apologize, but okay, you said it looks like, see, my impression right there was just, it's just somebody that looks like another person, right? I mean, there's people that look like me, there's people that probably, I'm sure, look like you, I'm sure there's people that look like Doug, right?
I know there's people who look like me, because I hear about them. People tell me, oh, you've got a double.
Yeah, okay, now, but you're also, you just mentioned that these people take their place, essentially. Am I correct?
Yes, and that is one aspect of the doubles program. If you want to talk about intelligence, for example, and you have, say, you have two people who look essentially the same, are represented as the same person, these two different people can be in two different places at the same time. And, for example, if one of the people is doing like something clandestine, then, or perhaps even a crime, the other double can be in, like, a social setting and have an alibi established for him or her, while the other one is up to this clandestine project. And if the police ever capture the double who is up to no good, then the other double will provide the names of the alibis to the double, and then both of them will walk away.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of different situations. And, I mean, let's be frank here. I mean, I'm sure there's people, like I said before, that they naturally look like each other. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that's maybe in some other country right now that looks exactly like me, right?
Sure.
It's just nature. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, we've been told as people that nobody's DNA is exactly the same, thus we don't look the same, right? But there's going to be similarities where people look a lot alike. Now, from what you're saying, this sounds like these people are put in place They're this is done intentionally, right?
Well, that's one aspect of it.
Okay.
And the people, they're actually, I don't know if you're familiar with the Illuminati.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, they're basically at the top of the structure. And underneath that, you have, like, the intelligence in different groups. And there actually is a doubles program to recruit lookalikes for intelligence, for example. And it's not only for intelligence, though, but it's also to make public appearances or to be some sort of a political decoy.
Yeah.
Or if a person is killed or dies, another person can step into his place and pretend to be that person. And then that person will carry on the agenda that the people put in there want him to.
Okay.
To further.
Yeah. Now this doesn't all include. Well, I'm sure we'll get more into the Illuminati because that's something I really want to talk to you about too.
Okay.
But I mean, you're talking these doubles now. Like, again, just to kind of get this point home, and I've heard of these things. You know, I mean, I'm sure. I'm just speculating now, but I'm sure there's going to be a doubles program for the president. For example, right? You know, now, I'm sure that it'd be very, very strange if the president was doing a speech in Washington, D.C., and then he was at the same time doing a speech, like, in Ohio somewhere, right? I mean, somebody would pick up on that and go, there's two of these. What's going on here? I'm sure in that situation, the president would, I mean, as far as the president's concerned, there would be someone, a decoy put in place there, I guess, right? Just in the event that if he was assassinated, they, you know, the real president obviously wouldn't be assassinated. They're there as it's a double, it's a decoy.
Right, that would be one way to look at it. But there's also the possibility that the president wouldn't be assassinated and a double would be put into his place.
Just a double, but I mean, I gave one reason there. Did I miss something? Is there another reason that they would put a double in there? I'm just trying to understand this more or less.
Sure. Well, since you're familiar with the Illuminati
and
their agenda, New World Order, if somebody is in their way, if somebody isn't going along with what they want, then that person will be eliminated, and then somebody who is on their side can be put in and then represented as being that original person.
Ah, Doug, see, now I'm understanding this now. You getting this, Doug?
Yeah, but I'm really interested in the fact that it doesn't have to be very, very high-profile people. It could be pretty much anybody. If you get, if you're recruited into this agenda, and then they can recruit someone who looks fairly identical to you, and I know I have a double, but I've never seen him or experienced it myself, but a lot of people have. And, if you could be used as a guinea pig or whatever to further along somebody else's agenda.
Right.
And I think that's rather, well, I think it's underhanded. I think it's probably pretty naughty and nasty, but it does, how often... My question is, how often do these things kind of happen, and is there a way to detect it in the news? Like, if you read an article, there's a lot of articles I read that are, you're like, oh, yeah, something else is going on there. Like, I get the intuition. Is that something that you can pick up on events that are reported on?
Yes. I have seen news articles on Saddam Hussein's doubles and Kim Jong-il's. That they're actually pretty well accepted that they had doubles.
Well, yeah. And, well, supposedly Saddam Hussein's dead, right? Obviously, we all saw that. You know that was huge news. He was executed in front of the whole world, right?
Was he though?
Based on what we're talking about here, that's a very interesting question. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Is he dead? I'm looking at our notes now, okay? And I'm sorry I grilled on you, but I really wanted to kind of understand this, right? And,
sure.
And again, you know, here's some purposes for this thing, and I'll lay them down here, what we have here, you know, laid out for us. Make public appearances. That's an obvious one. Political decoys or celebrity impersonators. If the president were needed to do low-level tasks in front of the public, they could have their double substitute for them, okay? Take over. Now, you just kind of mentioned that, I think, Tina, right?
Yeah.
You know, we got somebody in our way. We got a president here that's not taking any crap, and he's not going to be selling out to anybody. And I think we've seen plenty of presidents like that in the past, and they're no longer with us, ironically enough. But we need to put somebody in place that's going to fit our agenda that looks like this person, so nobody's going to get any wiser to our ploy. Well, there you go. Take over. We need to get a double in there to take over and do what we want to do. And here's another one, though, too. This is something I don't think we've got into exactly, creating an alibi or frame-up.
Right.
Now, okay, can you give me an example of this possibly, Tina?
Well, I mentioned the alibi earlier when you have the two doubles and one is off committing a crime or doing espionage and the other double is making the alibi. And if the authorities don't know about the other double, then the both of them are going to walk away. Well, an example of a frame-up, in my opinion, would be like with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Ooh, okay.
I'm saying because you just mentioned JFK because his assassination is pretty suspect, in my opinion.
But
so what happens is that you have the two doubles. You have the criminal, and then you have the patsy.
Yeah.
And the criminal will be off doing his crime, and the patsy will not necessarily be aware of what's going on, but people will identify the criminal as the patsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the patsy can say, well, I'm just a patsy, right? I didn't have anything to do with it. But since there are so many witnesses, then they're not going to believe him. And if the patsy is killed before he tells anybody about the twin, then nobody's ever going to know.
Well, Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's what happened to Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
He was quoted. He was quoted. I mean, we've seen videos of the press going after Lee Harvey Oswald. And he said on, you know, and again, it's like, you know, whose opinion? It's all, you know, who do you believe and who do you not believe, right? But he said, I'm the patsy here. I didn't kill anybody. I'm the patsy, right? And he said that, you know, several quick run-bys with the press. He said the same thing over and over again. And then, whoa, he gets assassinated too. Imagine that.
And when he was arrested, he had an identification card saying Alex Haddell on him.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
When he was arrested, he had an ID card saying Alex Haddell on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was probably some sort of intel asset or agent.
And I'm one of those people. I've watched a lot of specials on the Kennedy assassination. Done my share of reading too. And it's one of those things that still doesn't settle right with me. Doug, you've done some reading on the Kennedy assassination too, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I even went to a symposium on it at one point in my life when I was in high school. And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up, and I think it's a really interesting idea. I don't know if doppelganger completely fits that scenario, though. I mean,
go ahead, Tina.
I was just going to say, if you look at John Armstrong's research, he has like a photo array of Lee Harvey Oswalds. There are a bunch of them, it seems, so...
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I mean, it could definitely be part of this thing. Now, I'm looking here at the notes too, and you know, go ahead, Doug.
Before you do that, I want to ask this because I'm interested in the nefarious part, right? I think, Tina, this is fascinating because let's say, for example, somebody is necessary for a for an operation or for a, to further their agenda, somebody's agenda. Would they go so far as to take somebody who perhaps doesn't physically resemble somebody and make them resemble somebody through...
plastic surgery?
Yeah. Has that gone on? Do they have doctors on the agenda? And is it, like, really, really... grown to that extent now that all that technology is possible?
Yes, I do believe that plastic surgery is a part of the process. So you can take someone who already resembles someone and then try to even improve upon that. Absolutely.
So this really is a tool that nefarious organizations can use to further their agenda, and in some, you know, rather disturbing way, by either replacing somebody who they need replaced, or by setting somebody up. I mean, this is very, very far-reaching, and it sounds like an amazing tool that bad people can use. Can good people use the same kind of tool?
I suppose so.
I'm curious, because I think there's a lot of things that the government does that we don't get to hear about.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, Suze, the technology exists to do this now for people. And face it, there's a lot of patriotism in the U.S., and I'm sure there's patriotism in all countries. I would think that somebody could stand up and say, you know what, you need that done. I resemble this person. Why don't we go for it? And nobody ever hears about it, but it could actually happen. They could use this tool to further a governmental agenda.
That's true.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what the belly of this thing is right now is just furthering agendas, period. We're talking about groups that have, I think, in my opinion, have unlimited sources of funds, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think, if I wanted to look like, if I wanted to look like Chuck E. Cheese, right? Okay? If I wanted to look like him and I wanted to, change my appearance, I want to be Chuck E. Cheese. It's going to cost me a boatload of cash to do that I don't have to do. But we're talking about organizations that have buckets and buckets and buckets of money, and they have agendas, and they're going to meet these agendas no matter what. So they can afford this, bottom line. So they're willing to go to these extreme measures to, like we're talking about, create these doppelgangers through plastic surgery. We haven't even gotten into cloning yet, Tina, I don't think. We haven't mentioned that yet. That's another thing, too. But they're willing to go to these extremes to further agendas. How do you respond to that? It really kind of freaks me out. One thing I want to ask you, we're going to go to break here in a couple minutes, Tina, but, this is a really kind of you're talking to people that are, ghost hunters and paranormal investigators. This is what we do, right? And this doppelgangers are even something strange to us. It's something new to us. What got you into this yourself, Tina?
Well, in the past, I did interview with the CIA. And so I studied a lot about just certain intelligence tactics and this toolbox or the spycraft or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then last year, in September, August, actually, I got involved in the Paul's Dead rumor, which I actually think is true.
What was that again, Tina? I'm sorry, what was it?
The rumor that Paul McCartney died and was replaced.
Okay, yeah, and we got some information on that. We can talk about that, too. You got involved in this, you said?
Yes, I did. I started doing a lot of research, and then I was researching just Paul McCartney, and it sort of branched out into all these different areas. So I've been researching it for about 9 or 10 months pretty extensively.
Are you a Beatles fan?
I am. But I prefer them with Paul in it.
So, we'll get more into that, but this is kind of how you got into the study of doppelgangers through Paul McCartney, essentially, then?
Right, exactly. Well, from the spying to Paul, and then, so I already had sort of a background in that, and so I was open to the idea, because I knew it could be done.
Well, yeah.
Because a lot of people, if you don't know that it happens, then you're not going to notice it when it does.
Yeah.
And that's how they get away with it, because they have the media. They control the media, for one thing. And so a person is represented as being another person, and people, they don't know that maybe it isn't, so they don't notice.
Well, perhaps that's the reason that we've been, and this may just be a side note to this, but I've heard, you know, with all the new the technology out there, with high-definition televisions and stuff like that, we're getting all this great new technology that we can buy and have these HD TVs sitting right in front of us. And a lot of the stations on cable and stuff like that, they're all going to HD, right? And I've heard of a lot of the celebrities and people, you know, newscasters and whatnot, they have a real issue with this because, you know, with the old analog, I guess you can call it analog-type TVs now, that we have presently, you know, they show a nice picture. They're clean. You can see what's going on there and whatnot. But with these high-definition televisions, they show so much more detail, right? They show every little thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with these people that are on, these newscasters. They have an issue with this because it makes them look less than perfect than they want to look. It shows the pop marks in their face. It shows these little things in their face. Now, this might tie in with this whole doppelganger thing, though, also, Tina, because, yeah, you're talking about these small differences that we may not notice in passing, right? We may notice these things a lot more with all the new technology coming out with these high definition televisions. Are you follow what I'm saying?
Oh yes, absolutely.
I think that may be something to watch out for. And you know, again, like you said before, with the public and the media, Doug and I have been very vocal about this on the show in the past. I tell people to take about 5% of what they hear on TV and believe that. The other 95%, you throw that out and you don't even acknowledge it because it, really it's BS. Let's be frank here. There's only about 5% I think that may be based on some truth. And that includes these whole thing with doppelgangers too. Who knows who the hell we're talking to, right, Tina?
Right.
I mean, really, who could it be? I don't know. I mean, there's so much. That's what creates all this paranoia, I think, especially with people like me. And Doug's had to deal with this stuff personally for me, where it's like, you know, who do you believe now? When you finally become enlightened, it becomes very stressful, I think, because you don't want to believe anything, but you still want to believe somebody. Who do you trust, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a lot of disinformation out there, and it's put out there purposely to bury the truth. So you do have to be discerning.
Yeah, well, but that, again, that leads us to this problem. Like, yeah, I just said a second ago, okay, we don't believe 95% of what you hear on TV, in my opinion, right? But there is that 5% out there, I believe, that is truthful, and there's the challenge, I guess, because, okay, basically, who do you believe? And that's really stressful, I think, on people. Who do you believe? Who do you not believe? And that's where you get people that become ultra-paranoid, and then they end up getting locked up in an asylum somewhere because people think that either they have legitimately gone crazy, they drove themselves nuts out of paranoia, or, you know, people have deemed them crazy, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But, you know, I did have a glimpse behind the scenes at Intel, and you would be paranoid if you knew all that goes on.
Well, yeah, so. And we've talked to a lot of people on the show here in the past that, you know, they have evidence to back up that they have, you know, they've done work with the government, whatever it may be, you know, and they've showed this to us, and they said, look, this is what's going on for real. Don't trust what you're being told, and it's scary when you think about it that this kind of deception could go on.
Well, the best thing is just to inform yourself and read widely and trust your gut.
Well, yeah.
Trust your instincts on it.
I think a lot of people don't do that. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, believe what they hear on TV. They do believe what they hear on certain cable news networks, and they believe everything on there. And in my opinion, the news, really, you know, as I watch it here and there, and I see what's going on, and the news has pretty much turned into the ultimate, like, reality TV now. There's every time I turn on, like, one station, there's always breaking news. There's always something that's breaking, and I think that's just a tool being used to keep the ratings up, keep people watching the station, right? Because there's always something exciting going on. There's always breaking news going on. What are we going to do here? You know, we have to know what's going on here in our world at all times, and it's always going to be bad. Why can't we get any good news anymore, it seems? Like, it's always bad news. I tell you what, Tina, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about Paul McCartney. This sounds like this is your bread and butter with this thing. And I really want to get into this because, I mean, I am a Beatles fan myself. And I think it would be really interesting to hear what your thoughts and your research on, you know, what's going on with Paul McCartney when it comes to doppelgangers. Is that cool with you?
Great, yeah.
Let's do that. Thanks again for joining us here, Tina. This is Ghostly Talk. We lost Doug and Bonnie again. I'm looking at the board here, and they are totally off, so we're going to have to fix that here while we're on break. In the meantime, we're going to get listen to the paranormal news with Bonnie Bent. You guys, just stick around there. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L. We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Paranormal investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers. We all clamor at the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe to iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
Welcome to Paranormal Headline News, produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. This is Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. This newscast is dedicated to Dr. Hans Holzer, a pioneer in this field. He leaves behind a timeless legacy. Is the American Idol house haunted? The Bel Air Mansion, which houses this season's American Idol contestants, is reportedly haunted. According to People, the nine-room property has a ghost named Phyllis. The specter is described as a friendly troublemaker and is said to have taken up residency. The singers who claim to have seen the apparition said that it's like a white shadow walking across the room. Top plumbing and drain cleaning service provider Roto-Rooter announced Brittany Everett as the new face of its upcoming book project, Chilling Tales from the Porcelain Seat. The 23-year-old model was selected out of hundreds of potential candidates to grace the cover of this quirky vignette-style bathroom reader that includes commentary from Ghost Hunter stars Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson. The actual crane toilet used in the promotional materials will be signed by Brittany and the Ghost Hunter stars Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson and will be auctioned off at the book's release party in Greater Cincinnati, midsummer 2009. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com or join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
Wondering where you can get the latest news and reviews from the world of paranormal entertainment? Frank and Laura take a look at the latest happenings and break down what's new on TV and at the movies each week on Spooktacular, your paranormal entertainment roundup. Check them out by searching for Spooktacular in iTunes or head on over to Spooktacular.com. Oh yeah, be sure to bring along a friend because no one should listen alone.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun. We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kid show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghosts.com. This is Ghostly Talk.
Doppelgangers. Something very interesting we're talking about here tonight. You know, this really has a lot. It's much more nefarious than I thought it was, Tina. I have to say that as far as an observation is concerned, I just thought, you know, before we got into this conversation, that doppelgangers were more or less just people that looked like each other, and it just happened, right? It's just a natural thing with life that we had doubles out there possibly that didn't really, you know, intrude on our life at all or anything like that. They just looked like us. But there's a lot more nefarious reasons, it sounds like, Tina.
Yeah, there are.
It's freaky. It really is freaky. And it's just one of those other things that kind of scares me. Now, let's move on to Paul McCartney, though. This is an area that you've been working on. And
yes.
Do you mind if I just read this blurb you sent over to me?
No, of course not.
Okay. Paul McCartney, according to the official PID story, Paul McCartney has been dead since November 9th, 1966, killed in a car crash and replaced by lookalike William Campbell. This rumor first began in fall of 1969 when clues allegedly planted by the Beatles themselves began to be uncovered. In October of 1969, a Detroit disc jockey, Russ Gibb, received a call from a listener, Tom, insisting McCartney was dead and suggesting he play the Beatles song Revolution 9 backwards. Gibb did, and instead of the words number nine, he heard, turn me on, dead man. Okay, so Paul McCartney's been dead, 60, 70, 80, 90, he's been dead for almost over 40 years now, am I correct?
Yeah.
Actually, over 40 years now. I don't know where to start, Tina. This is insane. What do we have to back this up? I mean, there's obviously a story on this, but what other stuff, what other evidence do we have to prove this or back it up?
Well, we have photos and video and voice prints, phonograms.
Okay.
Let's see. One of the tools that the powers that be will use to find lookalikes are lookalike contests. And there was a lookalike contest for Paul McCartney in 1965. And so when people started noticing, actually they started noticing in 1967 in England that there was something wrong with Paul, that it didn't look like him. Mm-hmm. And so that was when the car accident rumor first started.
Okay.
But then in the USA, it really started in earnest in October of 1969.
Yeah.
And that was because of the Russ Gibb radio show.
Yeah. Now, okay, so 69 is where it really kind of took off at here in America.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these things. There's a bunch of stuff we can kind of point out here too. Now this is a comparison, I guess, between, you know, pre 1966 and post 1966. If I'm correct, there's a whole bunch of things that you've. This is between Bill Campbell and Paul McCartney. Bill Campbell.
Well,
did I get that right?
Nobody's really sure what his name is, but people think it's either William Shepard or William Campbell.
Okay, we got William Campbell here now. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you listed out here that's been noticed, I guess, on videos and also, like you said, voice things and stuff like that, too, mm-hmm. to compare. And I'll just start hammering through this thing just to get things rolling here. Paul's head is larger, both horizontally and vertically, than JPM's.
James Paul McCartney.
Okay, all right. JPM, okay. Bill has a larger chin and forehead. And this was obviously derived from videos. People have looked at these videos and looked at, again, pre-1966 and post-1966.
Well, it would be, photos too, but it's basically looking at photos before September of 1966 and then after 1966.
Okay, all right. So, and these are photos that we're talking about, okay.
Right.
Bill's natural ears are much smaller than Paul's. I'll go back here. I actually skipped ahead. Paul's hair grows from left to right, and his bangs are very thick. Bill's hair, as Paul grows from right to left, and his bangs are thin. Bill has a cowlick also. And these are, again, from photos and stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's earlobes are attached, and his ears stick out from his head. Bill's natural ears and even many of his fake ears have unattached earlobes and are set closer to his head. Bill's ears vary because he wears rubber pieces.
Ew. Well, prosthetic ears, basically.
So, those are prosthetics. It's not true plastic surgery, but those are prosthetics they were using.
Right, exactly. And you can really see it if you look at the video, Mary Had a Little Lamb on YouTube.
Okay. And there's Mary Had a Little Lamb. Look for that. Just, mm-hmm. I guess, search that out. You can find that.
Right, Paul McCartney.
Okay. Bill's ears vary because he wears rubber. Okay, I already said that one. Paul, it was caught on film wearing an obvious fake ear with a wedge missing. Ears are unique identifiers for a person, and it is necessary for a doppelganger to hide or disguise his or her ears in some way. So ears, in this study, I guess, from what you're saying here, ears are, obviously, they're a good, for lack of a better term, they're a good earmark to look for a doppelganger on?
Oh, absolutely. As if they stick out, or if the earlobe is attached, or if it isn't, or if it has a different angle that it's set. You have to look for really small, subtle things sometimes. So ears are good to look at.
Okay.
Sometimes they won't bother to disguise it.
Well,
because they will.
It seems like if you're going to go through all this trouble, you'd like go down to every single detail to make sure that there would be no question whatsoever.
Yeah, and in the beginning, it seems like they were more careful, but Paul had brown eyes, dark brown eyes, that we've seen pictures of Paul with green eyes. If you look at a Fool on the Hill video or at Strawberry Fields Forever, the video for that, you can see his green eyes.
Well, they've had, Doug, you're the old guy here. Maybe you can shed some light on this. years ago, they had colored, what do they call them? Contact lenses. They've had colored contact lenses for years.
No, that was relatively. That was a lot more recently than when I was born, and I was born 42 years ago. So, the colored contact lens came in much later than that.
Mm-hmm.
I do have, like, for example, my eyes are normally green, but sometimes they're brown. So
okay.
I think sometimes eyes can change, here and there, and it changes based on mood, based on, overall health, based on tiredness. So eyes do sometimes change colors, but not this dramatically. As Tina is mentioning, seems a little more dramatic than even my normal changing eye color.
Right. Well, I have blue-green eyes, and they will reflect different. They will reflect blue or green depending on what I wear, but they will never look brown.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to the contact lenses,
they
were first available on the market in the early 80s. But don't forget that what's available to certain entities is years ahead of what is available to the normal person.
So you've been asked this question before then?
Sure.
You were ready for me. Okay. I know, it was just something that popped in my head. I'm like, well, wait a minute. They have contacts. I mean, maybe, you know, he wanted to look, you know, he wanted green eyes that day. Who knows, right? But,
sure.
But you know, it's not, this is something else going on. Paul had high arching eyebrows. It's another thing, too. Bill had thick eyebrows with little arch. Fillers are used to pump up his eyebrows, and therefore they've varied over the years. You said fillers.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but they have managed to shape his eyebrows to look like Paul's.
Ooh.
To a certain degree. But in other pictures, they don't look like his eyebrows at all. So,
okay.
Very interesting.
Paul had Bell's palsy in the left side of his face, which caused it to sag in some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Bill never had this condition, and no picture shows signs of Bell's palsy. That's a dramatic one right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unique. I mean, that, not a lot of people have that. So, ooh, okay. Paul always stayed clean-shaven and wore short sideburns. Bill, now, wait. No, this is an easy one. I haven't finished it yet. Bill has had three mustaches, 1966 through 67, 1974, and early 1976. Beards he had were from in 1969 and 1970 through 72, and various long sideburns. Now, Tina, again, those are just obvious ones. I mean, that can change. Anybody can change that. Even if they're not, you know, dead, it seems like they can just change that stuff around, though, Tina.
Oh, yeah, that's easy to change.
Yeah.
But mustaches and facial hair, it is a way to hide a person's face.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so, and you can throw somebody off, too. Like, well, look, the guy just wanted to grow a mustache, you know? I mean,
exactly.
He wanted to grow a beard out.
Yeah, you look different because you have a mustache or a beard, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a beard, and I know that I would probably look... I've been wearing a beard for the better part probably of 15 years now, that and goatees and stuff like that, because, you know, frankly, I look scary without it, I think. So I disguise myself that way, too. Doug, you have a beard also.
Yeah, he does. Hold on a minute.
There's Bonnie. Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Where'd Doug go?
Oh, I just nipped out for one moment, but I am back.
See, Tina, we even got some weird stuff going on the phone line here. Paul was a legendary bassist and seldom looked down at his fingers while playing. Now, that's something that I could point out. Bill has always needed to look at his fingers while playing guitar, even on simple chord changes, ditto for bass. And Paul McCartney is one of the finest bass players. I'm a bass player, too, so I have studied him myself. Haven't studied him in this sense, but, I mean, if I had to pick that out, I could. If you look at all the old videos of the Beatles, Paul McCartney, there may be some technical things involved with that, though, too, Tina, where if they're playing on TV shows and whatnot, usually they played to the track. They weren't actually playing. But I have seen videos, live videos of the Beatles playing, and Paul McCartney as a singer and a bass player could do that effortlessly, which requires a lot of talent. Now, I haven't paid that much attention post-66 to see what it looks like, but people have obviously noticed that he has to look down at the instrument while he plays now, which I find strange.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was left-handed. That's an obvious one, too. Bill is right-handed and had to learn to play guitar left-handed, since that may be why he has to watch, because it isn't natural to him.
Right.
Paul had more body hair than William, or was it William? Did I mess that up, Tina?
No, William. Bill, Paul, whatever the doppelganger's name is.
Okay, yeah, Paul had more body hair than Bill. Paul rarely stared directly into video cameras while performing. Bill often gazes into video cameras for long periods while performing. Paul was masculine. Bill's portrayal of Paul was very effeminate. Bill is around 2.5 inches taller than Paul and has a larger frame. Plastic surgery is most notable from 1967 to 1969. Cheek fillers most noticeable in 1970. Okay, Paul, brown eyes, we said that... I think, okay, Paul, yeah, brown eyes, and then Bill, green eyes. Paul's eyes were set apart from Bill's also, too.
Yeah, like farther apart.
They were farther apart, so they were wider set.
I have a question, you guys. This is a very, very, very extensive list. I mean, these and they're very picky, and I agree that that's the level of detail you'd have to get to.
Yeah.
But what kind of, like, obviously this was compiled with a lot of resources. Like, somebody actually sat there with, or not just maybe one person, but maybe lots of people, sat there with a lot of footage, a lot of photographs, and you know, got details and things like that. Because if you want to know how tall someone is, you have to either find someone else in the photograph or some other object.
Some point of reference, yeah. Some point of reference.
A point of reference. And then you've got to go and actually measure one of the two, and that way you can figure out the other. So, like, there was a lot of research in this list. And so this obviously took a lot of time. Who is researching this? Who's compiling these lists, Tina? And how long does it come, how long does it take to compile even one of these many, many, many variations?
Sorry about that.
Well, I've been one of the people who's been comparing photos and coming up with the differences, but there are a lot of people involved, actually, in the Paula's Dead movement, because we want the truth to come out, and that's what it takes. And
well,
you know, and it's been something that people have known about since 1969, so some people have been looking at it for a long time.
Well, it's obvious that Paul McCartney is an important man. He's been an important man for, you know, half a century. Okay.
Yes.
You know, it goes without saying the Beatles, as far as a rock group, as composers, as artists, I mean, it's timeless, and there's people that, you know, the Beatles aren't a band, they're a lifestyle. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, the impact they had on rock music and music in general, it crosses boundaries as far as the eye can see. So I guess that maybe I may be answering my own question right there. Why would they go through all this to basically create a doppelganger for Paul McCartney? Why couldn't he have just passed away? I mean, John Lennon passed away. He was killed.
Well,
he was shot.
Yeah, right? He was shot. Exactly.
Yeah, why?
Well,
go ahead.
The thing is, if you start looking into the Illuminati and their agenda, and you look back at the mid-60s, and what were they trying to do? Well, they were in the middle of the Vietnam War, they were trying to escalate it. They had a lot of, they were trying to use LSD as part of the MKUltra program to basically use mind control on the population, on just regular people, to get them to either go along with Vietnam or to destroy the anti-war movement that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're trying to use rock and roll as a way to further this drug agenda, and you have certain people, like maybe Paul McCartney, who wouldn't go along with it, or maybe wasn't controllable, then he could be replaced and somebody else could be put in who would. And shortly after Paul was replaced, a doppelganger, Fall, did actually start talking in interviews about taking LSD.
Oh, because there was, I mean, through the Beatles' career, there was drastic changes. I mean, if you look at the Beatles, you know, when they first started out, and then the Beatles, like, 15 years from there, they were a completely different band. I mean, aesthetically, the way they looked, the way they sounded, there was a lot of differences, right?
Exactly.
And I've often found that fascinating about that band, because they did wear a lot of different hats over their careers, and they still are, right?
Mm-hmm.
This may be one of the reasons they did that, it sounds like to me, Tina.
That's my theory, yes.
It's really, really, honestly, I thought, you know, as we were going through all this stuff that, well, okay, look, you know, these guys were a huge band, and they, I mean, in 66, they were big, they were huge, right? And then all of a sudden they have an accident, right? Paul McCartney gets killed. And they go, well, let's be frank, we can't lose this cash cow, right? We gotta keep this thing going, so let's find somebody to replace Paul, not tell anybody, and keep the band rolling. I honestly thought that may have been the main reason, but it sounds like it's a lot more nefarious again.
Yes, I think so.
And this more or less, I want to get this straight though too, that the government was trying to push this drug agenda to get people to go along with the war, and it sounds like Paul McCartney wasn't going for that.
That's my opinion. Yes, MK Ultra was the it was a huge drug program.
Yeah,
for mind control.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are familiar with that, I'm sure. So. Of course, rock and roll was used to further that agenda, and of course, Timothy Leary and all of these people were pushing drugs. And from interviews that I've read about Paul McCartney, in 1965, he had an interview saying that he would not encourage people to not drink. So I can't imagine that he would encourage people to take drugs, especially something like LSD.
Well, yeah, it's really kind of ironic when you think about it, too, because, you know, I've always considered... It sounds like they were trying to get Paul McCartney, or and I'm sure other people involved, and to use rock and roll and use this form of music as a means to push this, like we said before, right? It's such
right.
an ironic thing, because it seems to me, and just because growing up and listening to rock and roll my entire life, right, I've always viewed rock and roll in all of its forms to be a source of, a lot of times, rebellion and to question authority and go out there and kind of scream at people and say, no, I'm not going to take this stuff. Here's what's right. You're doing this all wrong. A good, strong form of rebellion. And it sounds like the government at the time, according to you, was trying to turn the tables on rock music and make it into part of the establishment.
Yeah, it's a controlled rebellion. So they take it over, but because originally the professors and the students were the anti-war people, what happened was it was basically taken away from them, and the rock and roll, the people who were controlled by the government
mm-hmm.
led the rebellion. So it wasn't really a real rebellion anymore. It lost its focus. It fizzled out at some point.
Well, what better way to take control again is to take control of the rebellion and make the people believe, right? Make them believe that they're rebelling, but in reality, you know, and that's one thing we've talked about, and Doug, we've discussed this in the past, an idea like racism, right? I've often heard that the idea of racism, the rawest form of it, was actually contrived and created by our government as a means to divide our people. So we're so damn busy out there fighting with each other over the color of our skin or whatever our religion may be, that they could just walk all over us, slide everything they want through Congress, any type of litigation or anything they want to put up there, they could do that while we're out there fighting on the streets with each other because, again, of the color of our skin, because of our religious thing. And it sounds like they could do the same thing with this, with a rebellious thing like rock and roll, right? Let's get them so, you know, angry through this music that they're going to be so busy partying. I mean, God, look at Woodstock. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it was an amazing thing, but I mean, and I might take hits for this, but really, I mean, it was an amazing concert. It's a historic concert, but really, I mean, what was accomplished? I mean, there was a lot of great music, a lot of great artists were there, but did it make much of a difference, though, in the long run?
Well, I think that that's also a very good opportunity. I mean, as far as opportunities go, there's opportunity motive and abilities to do these things, and they have it all. But I think the opportunity to plant ideas into a lot of people's minds immediately may not have to take the form of a giant dish at Montauk or
yeah.
something in the water. All you would need really to give a whole bunch of people an idea. Right, is to have one of their idols or one of their current people that they look up to, a hero maybe, or an idol, or, you know, someone that they really, really identify with already, have them say that idea. And this was a brilliant way to, to plant that idea and then let them just run with it. And, you know, and then suddenly the government or the Illuminati or whoever was pulling all these strings, you know, the puppet masters, they could be left to do with what
they really needed to be doing. They're
doing it right now, Doug. They're doing it as we speak. We were just talking before the show how we were talking about World of Warcraft, right? And how their new campaign now has Ozzy Osbourne as their faceplate, right?
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne's telling people how much he loves World of Warcraft, which we know he can't even type a key on the computer, I don't think. But you know, now he's the face man, so all of us rockers are gonna run out there and play World of Warcraft now. So yeah, Doug, you're totally right on with that. Unfortunately though, we are at the top of the hour. We totally ran out of time on this, like we always do. But Tina, I can't thank you enough for coming on here.
Thank you.
I learned so much here about doppelgangers, and there's a lot more to it than just, hey, this guy looks like me, so it must be a doppelganger. Yeah. There is so much more to this. This is just freaky, and we got your research in Paul McCartney. I want to hear more about this, too. I mean, we'd like to have you back on sometime down the road, and if you come across some new stuff, let's definitely do that. Hang on the line for 1 second, though. Don't leave us just yet,
okay?
All right. Yeah, again, thank you, Tina, for joining us. Doppelganger, something new. I'm really cool with that. We're going to be talking with Barbara Lamb in the next hour about alien experiences, regression into alien experiences. Just a back-and-forth show like we usually do here. But in the meantime, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.